The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
Today is Sunday, June 23rd, 2013, for those listening live, and it's whenever you're listening in your time, if you're listening to the recording. Either way, welcome to the program, and happy summer. Just passing the solstice this past Friday. Hope you had a marvelous time. Hope you're enjoying the increase in this time, maximum light on the planet daylight. And, well, we're going to talk about maximizing things here a little bit later. But before we do that, let's jump into the connections and take a deep breath and allow yourself to focus inward and on the intention to expand your connection with your own divinity, your own mastery, soul, higher self, spirit, whatever term works best for you. And the intention is simply to open, to allow that energy of your true essence to be more directly experienced in this moment, and allowing that to expand and fill you at the physical level, at the emotional level, and at the mental level, allowing it to flow out into your aura, filling your entire energy field, and flowing out into all of those energetic connections you have with others, all of your relationships. Just let your breathing be easy as you expand this energy within your experience. All right, knowing that this expanded connection, this expanded flow of your own energy will remain, at least to this degree, during the time that we share here, let's go on and open more fully into our connection with the Mother Earth. And you can open through the chakras in the feet or the root chakra, open through the cells of the skin or your entire body, your entire physical being, or whatever other way works best for you. And again, you're just breathing and opening into the intention to allow yourself to experience this connection with our Mother Earth more fully, allowing that energy to flow up into you, her love and support for you, to flow up into you, filling the physical, the emotional, and the mental, filling your entire aura and your entire energy field, and flowing as well down into all of those energetic connections that we call relationships. Grounding you more fully in those relationships, enabling you to feel more supported and empowered. And once more, knowing that this connection is going to remain open throughout the time that we are connecting here today, it's going to remain at this expanded level at the very least. Let's move on and open another set of connections more fully. And these are the connections to your angels, your spirit guides, your ascended master teachers, all beings of divine light who are in any way supporting you on your path in this lifetime. And you can, again, open in whatever way works best for you, through the heart, through the third eye, through the crown, through your whole being at once, whatever feels the best. Allowing yourself to receive their love and support, filling you at the physical, the emotional, and the mental levels, filling your aura, your entire energy field, and flowing out into all of your relationships, lifting them to a higher level of empowerment and divinity and conscious intention. And once more, knowing that these connections will remain open at least to this degree throughout the time we share here today, let's come together in our direct community, the community of exposing the masters within. Each of you and I joining together to co-create the experience here today. And knowing that each one who is participating at your end or at mine is here with this intention of coming into mastery, of expanding in our experience of mastery, in our expression of mastery, in knowing who we truly are. And that shared intention has a power, it has a mass consciousness, and so that's what we're connecting with, that mass consciousness that supports us more fully than our own individual intention. It supports us in that intention to experience this power more deeply. And in that experience, being able to express it more fully. And again, just allow yourself to know that that is flowing in and filling you, supporting you physically, emotionally, and mentally. Flowing throughout your energy field, throughout your aura, and even flowing into all of your relationships, bringing in the support of this community into all of your relationships. And once more, knowing that these connections and this energy flow will remain at least at this level while we are connected here today, let's move on to another opening, another connection, another pathway of empowerment. And that is to the energy of all light workers, all those who are consciously walking a path of empowerment, of self-mastery. Again, it's another mass consciousness, a larger mass consciousness than the one of those listening to this program. It's all the light workers on the planet, regardless of what language they speak or what land they live in. They share the intention of coming into mastery, coming into empowerment. And so that mass consciousness is what we're tapping into now. And again, allowing that energy to flow into our physical, emotional, and mental selves, to flow into and fill our aura, our entire energy field, and even flowing into all of our relationships. Holding that intention, not just for ourselves, but holding the space of supporting the others we're in relationship with to step into their mastery. Because that's part of how this mass consciousness works. As we step into our own mastery, we support others in stepping into theirs without having to do a thing. Our energy supports them in a way that doesn't take anything from us. We no longer have to sacrifice to move toward empowerment. And so knowing once more that this connection and this energy flow will remain open to at least this degree throughout the time that we share here today, we move on to the last set of connections. And this is the connection with a mass consciousness created by all of humanity. And that mass consciousness is a seed consciousness, I believe. It's a seed consciousness that we all have in us. It's that doorway where before we had word for it, before we had idea about it, before we had concept or desire at a conscious level, we had the knowing of the connection to divinity. And as the seed inside that knowingness is the desire for things to be better than we are experiencing them to be. That there is a higher experience possible. And that is a mass consciousness created, I believe, by everyone in a human body. And it is potent and it is large. And that's what we're tapping into here as the last segment, the last energetic support. Because that, ultimately, that energy underlies our desire that's more specific to move into mastery, to move into empowerment. And so allow yourself to open and receive this energy at the physical, at the emotional, and at the mental levels to fill your energy field, to fill your aura, and to flow into all of your relationships so that we can more easily recognize that spark in everyone else, that desire to live a higher life, to live a better life. And knowing it more fully for ourselves and feeling it more supported and trusting that this as well will remain open to at least this degree while we are connected here today. So just take a couple of breaths and really let all of these energies percolate as we step forward into today's topic. And today's topic was one of those rare times. It wasn't given to me in last week's program or just after last week's program, but it was given to me, I think, maybe on Tuesday. And that, as you know, if you listen regularly, is something that is quite unusual for me. Typically, I don't know what I'm talking about. Well, wait a minute. Typically, I don't know my topic for the radio program until sometime earlier in the day. Hopefully, I know what I'm talking about. At least my intention is to share what I know what I'm talking about anyway. And that topic is this: emotional hoarding. That's hoarding with a D. And, of course, we'll get in fairly deeply to what I mean by that, but it was a very strong energy when it came in earlier in the week, so much so that I did write it down. And even if I hadn't, it would have stuck with me all week. And when I shared just that that was going to be the topic with someone, a friend of mine earlier today, she said, oh, that makes so much sense. There's so much flooding going on around the planet. Now, I don't pay much attention to the news in any form, but I thought that connection was very apropos because, well, don't know what your grounding is specifically, but if we look at the elements of earth, water, air, and fire, which have been talked about in occult and metaphysical teachings for ages, eons, water is associated with emotion. Almost exclusively. And so this kind of overflow of water that is represented externally in flooding makes perfect sense in the context of this topic, emotional hoarding. And that word hoarding certainly has been given a new energetic charge in the last decade or so. I don't know when the program started on cable. Hoarders, is that the name of it? I'm not even certain what the exact name is. And I've only seen snippets of it in passing or advertisements for it. So I haven't watched the entire program, but certainly there is this energetic around it. And almost, and maybe this is strong, it feels strong to me, and it definitely feels like it has a perhaps a judgmental component to it. But when I think about that program, and again, I've never watched it, but when I think about it, the topic, the energy of it, almost has a morbid fascination. And the word that came up that brought me to that place of saying maybe there's judgment here is it's almost repulsive. But it's repulsive in the same way that someone driving past an automobile accident on the highway often will slow down and crane their neck to try and see what they can see. See what's going on over there. Oh my God, there but for the grace of God go I. And I think, as with many of the programs that are on now that loosely fall under the umbrella of reality TV, such as Hoarders, although that's not one of those contest programs. I don't believe they have hoarding contests to see who's the biggest hoarder. But focusing on and delving deeply into the life of an individual and exposing that life to the world is a lot of what's going on in our mass media right now. And I think that in and of itself is also a fascinating thing, because everything that we bring into our consciousness that we're perceiving as being external to us is part of our mirroring. And so it's relating to us in some way. So what is it saying about us as humans on the planet that so much of what is presented now has this voyeuristic aspect to it, where we're delving in to what is presented as the deep emotional experiences of other people, seeing them at their worst, seeing them at that place of exposing their failings to the world. And for me, what that says is that we're thirsting for the willingness to delve into our own depths, that we're thirsting for the strength or the courage to do that. Because, again, I just can't watch that kind of show very easily or very frequently. And I've never watched Hoarders specifically. But in that energy of connecting with what might even be called the pathos of this person, what is their deep wounding that they're showing? Not that it's elevated art in the form of the ancient Greeks and their theater, but it almost has that element of the tragedy to it. You know, what's the downfall in this person's life? And in that, connecting with that, in caring about what's going on over there, can I get a catharsis? Now, again, that's a term out of Greek theater. And I think a lot of people have a vague idea of what that means. But a catharsis is having an emotional experience in me as a result of observing and becoming a more active participant in what I'm looking at over there, in that theatrical production. But I think that is a big part of what's going on. That we have this desire to go within ourselves, but we don't necessarily have the tools or the knowing or the courage or the wisdom to do that actively. And so we try to engage it by looking at the automobile accident, by watching reality television, by watching, Jerry Springer for those of you who have ever seen that or even know the stereotypes of what it's about. Again, it's a show I can't watch. It's painful to watch. But these people come in and they expose their deepest, darkest problems, and they get into huge fights with each other in front of television. And theoretically, the idea is to help bring people together and heal. But it's much more about the conflict than it is about any healing that's going to take place. And yet, so many people are watching these things. Why? Why? For me, because we have this need to get down into our depths, but we don't have the cultural guides to go there. And so I want to come back around to the topic here, why I think we have this cultural aspect that is so strongly pushing to get into other people's stuff, and even so much of social media now is I bare my soul to the world. Well, I don't. I'm terrible with social media. But that's how many people approach it. Oh, I just write everything that's going on in me. I'm going to blog and share my deepest, darkest secrets for anyone who happens to stumble upon them. And you might say, well, aren't you doing that, John? Isn't that what exposing the masters within does? To a degree. I am choosing to step forward and say, this is what my life is. This is what I've been through. Now, I'm doing it specifically and consciously as a way to support others who might be dealing with similar things or thinking about or having similar issues, etc. So I'm choosing to do it for myself, and lots of the people who love social media might say the same thing. But in any case, I think it's a very core thing that we're trying to connect with others and not knowing how to do it. And we're trying to connect with ourselves and not necessarily knowing very well how to do it. And I think it relates to what my understanding is of this phrase that they gave as the topic for the program today, which is emotional hoarding. Because that's what we do. Now, we look at physical hoarders who have stuffed their houses and their outbuildings and their garages and their attics and their basements and storage buildings with stuff. Filled and overflowing. And I also find it fascinating bringing up storage buildings. And another one of those reality shows, Storage Wars, where it's all about stuff that people have stopped paying for, and so it goes on the auction block. But I believe there's this very deep aspect in us that this physical hoarding is a result of emotional hoarding. And I think it also relates on a different way. Another type of physical hoarding is, well, they're calling it, well, the idea of obesity being out of control and everything. That's an aspect of hoarding body cells, hoarding weight, hoarding literally energy. That's what calories are that gets stored in fat. It's energy, it's potential. And take a breath, everyone. And for me, at the root, whether it's the physical hoarding in the house, whether it's the hoarding in the cells in the body, or whether it's even, and I was wondering about this before beginning the program today, if there's a way in which we hoard thought. And in some ways, I think many of us do. It's not so much that we hold on to thoughts that we're unwilling to share, although I think that's something as well. We all have those aspects of ourselves, perhaps our thoughts that we're ashamed of, that we wouldn't want to share with others because, oh my God, what might they think of me? But I think in another way we hoard thought as the place where we spend so much of our time focusing. In other words, we hoard our attention being focused on thought. Because you can't hoard thoughts in the same way you hoard newspapers. But what we're hoarding is what we're giving energy to. But not in a way where there's movement. And so I would say one sign of mental hoarding would be those kinds of repetitive thoughts that we can get into. Some people would label that worry. But it doesn't even have to be worrying. We can just be worrying around in our brain over and over again. But again, I believe that at the core of that is emotional hoarding. Hoarding things that we're unwilling to let go of. That might be the best definition for what hoarding is. Holding on to things because we're unwilling to let them go. Now, the most obvious place where emotional hoarding might be happening would be in something like a grudge, where someone has done something or said something to you, and you're never going to let that go. I've got to remember this. You're not going to get away with this. That's one big way. But I don't think that's the major way. I think most of our hoarding is much more unconscious than that. Some of that kind of thing, it's not exactly like a grudge, but I believe a lot of us hold on to things because we don't want to forget the lesson. Well, I'm never going to let that happen to me again. But of course, laws of energy would say, if we're focusing on something by holding on to it, by not letting it move through us, by not completing the experience. I don't know how long ago I did that program on completion, but that this is part of that. That energy of completing the experience, letting it go, being done with it, doesn't mean we forget it, but it's no longer actively taking part of our energetic, part of our focus, even unconsciously. It's simply something that's part of our experience. But a lot of us hold on to those things that are unpleasant, thinking that if I can remember this, I can change it next time I get in a similar circumstance. But what we're holding on to, we will manifest more of. And so this aspect of emotional hoarding is not any better for us in terms of creating better experiences than holding a grudge is. Holding a grudge is specific at another person. Holding on to something so we can try to prevent it from happening again is holding on to the energy of a situation rather than just the person in the situation. And so those are two aspects or two levels of this emotional hoarding that we do. But I think we do more than that as well. There's another aspect here that is an aspect that goes back to one of the things that I believe very strongly about what the emotional body, why we have one, that it is here to help us in our path of learning to discern choices and learning to empower ourselves into making choices. And it has to do with, as we're growing, after we're born, going through infant and toddler and child and adolescent and young adult, etc., all these stages, our emotional body is giving us messages all the way along. Positive emotion, yeah, do that some more. Negative emotion, it's time to make a different choice. But the younger we are, the less real power we have in our physical circumstances to choose. Starting with the fact that we can't even communicate clearly when we're infants. We can't speak. We can cry. And if our parents are paying attention or our other caregivers are paying attention, they will eventually get to the place where they can tell the cry for food versus the cry for change of a diaper. But feeling the emotion, feeling the negative emotion under those circumstances when we really don't have choice, it can be hard to let go of that emotion because we're not taking the action that the emotion is encouraging us to take. And so I believe it becomes easier to gradually shut the emotional body down, to limit how much we're feeling, because in there is a very deep sense that I'd rather not be in pain because I can't make a choice to make the change anyway. And that becomes, to a degree, our background, our default. I don't want to feel because I can't make a choice. I can't make a choice, so better to just shut the emotion down. And then, of course, we have the cultural programs about which emotions are more acceptable than others. Well, there's a whole lot of things that are defined as mental illness that have major emotional components in them. Depression, panic attacks, anxiety attacks, etc. What are they? Emotion that has been held to a degree that it's flooding out. And our culture says, well, it's not really good to have emotions. But what our culture really says is there are most of the ways to express emotion are not good. They're not healthy. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? Most of us translate that, I believe, as there's something wrong with emotion itself, rather than the choices that we can make from having the emotion. And that's the difference between what some people would label as reactivity versus response. Reactivity is this automatic programmed thing. Someone treats me in this way, I'm going to yell at them. Someone treats me in this way, I'm going to stop talking to them. Someone treats me in this way, I'm going to go have a beer with them. And we have these programmed reactive ways of dealing with certain patterns of experience. And what we're seeking to do in walking a path toward mastery is to come to a place where we are less and less reactive to our circumstances and more responsive, meaning in this way of looking at it, able to consciously choose how to deal with that situation rather than living in the automatic pattern. And I know in the channeling, and I believe this to be true from what I've seen and in working with the clients and in looking at myself, that we, most of us, spend the majority of our time living in those patterns. And so we have so many layers of patterns that are about stuffing our emotion, that are about blocking it completely, not even acknowledging it. And when it comes up, we're surprised. And that's, to me, what emotional hoarding is. And if we are ever going to get into mastery, I believe one of the most significant pieces of that is starting to go down and do the emotional equivalent of cleaning out that house that has been stuffed to the rafters by someone who is a physical hoarder. It's going in there and saying, all right, this doesn't feel good. It smells funny. Is that a dead raccoon over there? Ooh, here's mouse poop. And just moving through it. We don't have to read every one of those newspapers. We can just take them out and take them and recycle them. We can just clear them out. And that's one of the most important things for me about learning to deal with emotions differently, is that that emotion of anger that I stuffed when I was five because someone called me a name on the playground and I knew better than to punch them because I didn't want to go to the principal's office. When I stuffed that anger, what was its lesson? Make a different choice. This is not a good situation to be in. Do something so that you don't get called names. Well, I didn't have a choice that I could make, that I felt that I could make, that was one of power. So I just stuffed the anger down. For me to move that anger about that instance, I don't need to have the specific remembrance of what year it was in school, who the person was who called me the name, what the name was this in January or June, and on and on and on and on and on. I don't need the details. I need the intention that I'm going to choose to move this energy. That's it. That's it. I need the commitment as well, I guess. It's not just it to have the intention. I have to have the commitment. I have to carry through. I have to be willing to breathe into that emotion when my anger gets triggered. I have to be willing to breathe into it. I have to be conscious of making these choices in a regular way so that when it gets triggered, I can say, all right, I'm choosing to experience and express this anger in order to release and clear it. Not I'm choosing to experience and take this anger out on my friend or my partner or my child. But I'm choosing to express it. I'm choosing to acknowledge it. I'm choosing to groan tone it. I'm choosing to breathe through it. I'm choosing to take a walk to get the energy moving emotionally as I'm moving physically. I'm doing burn journaling. I'm doing something else to get it out of me, to let it go. I'm not trying to figure it out. I'm not trying to hold on to it and go, well, I have to remember this so that no one else calls me a name. Or I have to go back and punch this guy now that I'm an adult. No, I need to move the energy. And I do believe I have experienced it myself, and I've worked with a lot of people who've had the experience of amazing catharsis, of that release, the cathartic experience when, oh, that feels so much better. What a weight off my shoulders. Is a wonderful cliche about letting some of this old emotion go. Oh, and it does. As we clean it out. You know, if you looked at an 8-room house that a hoarder had filled every room of, and the basement, and the attic, and the garage, and 3 outbuildings and 2 storage garages, you're not going to do that in a day. You're not going to sit down and clear that house in an hour. It's going to take a concerted effort over time. It's going to take the intention to clear it. Now, I guess one way to clear it would be to try to burn it down. But then you can't live in the house anymore. You're trying to burn it down, you might as well shoot yourself in the head. That's the equivalent. And I think that's why some people do shoot themselves in the head, because they're filled to the top. And they can't clear it out. They don't know how to go in and get rid of the emotion that is overwhelming them, that is flooding their life. I believe this is a big piece. So many people now are experiencing overwhelm. Well, overwhelm is the energy of I can't handle it. I've had it up to here. Well, that's literal. I've had it up to here. You say that to someone else, that's not about them and their behavior in that moment. That's about how much emotion you've got stuffed down inside of you. I've had it up to here. This is the straw that broke the camel's back. This is the last piece. I dropped that in there and it's completely full now. There's no more room at the end. And I know I've said it before. I know it's come through in channeling, and I don't know if I've said it specifically on the radio program. But I think the biggest single issue for those walking the spiritual path is that many of them do not step into doing the emotional work. They think it's all about calling in more light, calling in more divinity from the angels, filling themselves up. Well, this I know I've used. It's not mine. I don't know who created it. But it's the image of the glass jar someone brings in front of an auditorium and proceeds to fill up with big rocks. So you can't fit any more of the big rocks in there. But there's a lot of space in between those big rocks. But when the person doing the presentation asks the group, is this jar full? They're like, yes, yes, yes. Because in terms of big rocks, yes, it is. And so the person gets out rocks that are smaller that can fit in between and starts to pour them in the top, and they start to trickle down, filling the spaces. And so again, when they've got as many of those in as they can, they're like, is this jar full? Well, obviously the people in the audience are starting to get it. They're like, some of them are yes, some of them are no. So they pull out the jar with the tiny little pebbles, pour those down in there, fill the space, etc. And then the sand, and then the water. Well, a lot of us have a lot of those stuff down, that stuff down in there. We can't get more light in because there's no place to put it. Because of the emotions that we're hoarding that have been stuffed down inside of us. And it's not easy to walk forward on this path of doing emotional healing. Because we are dealing with all of the things that at previous times in our life, we didn't feel strong enough or capable enough. We didn't have the wisdom or the tools. We didn't have the support to be able to deal with when they were initially triggered. That's why they got stored. Kind of like all the paperwork I was hoarding that I've now just about finished sorting and clearing. I didn't feel I had the strength to deal with it, so I didn't. Just piled up. Well, give yourself the permission. If any of this resonates with you, give yourself the permission to start moving out the emotions that you've hoarded. In the same way that the person who fills the house as a hoarder doesn't do that in a day, and it can't be cleaned out in a day. That's certainly not by one person anyway. Maybe if you've got 100 people doing it. But walking this path, we have to clear it ourselves. We can have support from others, and that's a really good thing. But they can't do the emotional work for us. And we can have energy work where someone's working with our energy field, but they can't move out things, energies, even old emotions, that we're not willing to let go. And so a big key is to be willing to step into that space of, I'm willing to let this come up. I'm willing to move this out. I'm choosing that and setting that as a regular intention so that we can do it a little at a time rather than having it flood, having it explode out of our lives when the top has been reached and then the pressure builds and it becomes too much and it overflows the banks. And not that that has to be the case. And certainly if you're walking a path and have been walking a path for a while, you've probably been doing this. I hope you have. And I hope you've had support on that path. And perhaps even this program is supportive in that way. I hope so. That's my desire. That's why I'm willing to put this out here. And so now, I think it was last week, I said we're coming up on the 100th program here. This one today is number 97, if I'm counting correctly, which I believe I am. And I said I was going to have an announcement to make. And so this is the announcement, the starting of the announcement. Over the next 4 weeks, or the next four programs that are done live, as those of you who listen regularly know, I don't always show up. Something comes up, etc. There's always going to be a program, but it's not always going to be a live one. And my intention is this will be over the next 4 weeks, but we shall see. So, over the next 4 weeks, I'm going to give away at least three things that, if you paid for them, each of them would cost you over $900. And I'll be giving those away starting in 2 weeks. So for the 99th program, I'll give away one. For the 100th program, I'll give away another. For the 101st program, I'll give away the third. And how you enter, if you want to win one of those, and next week I'll talk about what they all are, but how you are going to enter is, in next week's program, I'm going to pick a word. And I'm going to tell you somewhere along the way in the program, this is the word. And I'm going to give you the format. You send me an email with that word in it saying you're choosing to join this drawing, and that gets you entered. And there'll be another word the following week. I'll make the first drawing, but I'll give the word for the second drawing, etc. And so you can put in for all three of them. Now, just to be fair, I'm only going to let any one person win one of the three. I think that seems fair enough. But you can enter all three of them, absolutely. And I'd like to make this fun, and I think you will be interested in what's being offered. So anyway, I'll leave that at that. Leave a little bit of intrigue as we go forward. As it's time now to step into the channeled portion. And so, as always, allow your breathing to deepen. And I'll do the toning and bring in whoever is going to be the guest here today. Hello, dear ones. This is Ganesha come to be with you today. Welcome. For those of you who do not know this name, you've probably seen the image. The Hindu deity with the head of the elephant. And you may well know, if you know the name, one of the primary energies that we carry, that we embody, that we bring to support you with, is the energy of removing obstacles. And for most of you, there is not a greater obstacle in your life that you can deal with directly than this emotion that you have hoarded, that you have stored inside of you, whether out of protection or out of disempowerment, it does not matter. Whether out of trying to stop something from manifesting again or for any other reason, because you did not trust yourself with it, perhaps, with that emotion in that moment. But regardless of why it got put down there, we are here to aid you in moving it. And it is not just right now. This is not a limited time offer. Call by 5, otherwise this offer will expire. No. We are always available to help you move this. Now, many who know of us and call upon us miss out on this opportunity because they think that we are about going out there into the world and making other people more agreeable to what you desire, removing those sorts of obstacles. Well, it is good to understand that the way you move those obstacles the most directly is to move the obstacles of the emotion that are within you. And so this is the most effective use of our energy in coming to be with you. And so we would give you a little sampling of this. Allow yourself to ground consciously, to be as present in your physical body as possible in this moment. Allow your breath to deepen, to become more full. Allow it to ease. Letting go of pressure that you might feel. It doesn't matter where it comes from in this moment. There's no pressure here. We are not behind you pushing you. We are beneath you, holding you up. Think of riding on the back of an elephant. Whether you've done it physically or not. There is a weight, a strength beneath you in that. And we are that beneath you, that strength. And so allow yourself to relax into that strength. And give yourself permission to let go. To let go of whatever emotion you can access, that which is nearest the door in your emotional house of hoarding. Doesn't have to be the deepest, darkest secret buried in the basement or in the backyard. It can be whatever is closest to the surface, because that's what's easiest to move. And just give that permission and breathe with that permission. And allow the energies that we are offering you to flow through you, washing it away. Like a flood washes away the banks containing the river. And breathe that in and let that flow gather energy as we go into the sound. Wow. Just keep breathing with that. And allow any continuing trickle or flow of that emotion out of you to just go. You don't need to do anything. It is set in motion now. It is moving. It is leaving. Thank it for going. Marvelous. And now, we must be going. We must be leaving. But we are always available. Much love to each and every one of you. And may your journeys flow. Namaste. All right. Thank you, Ganesha. And thanks to each and every one of you. And thank you, Doug. And chart those chimes whenever you're ready. Well, we've come to the conclusion of another one, my friends. Know that I cannot do this without you. It is your energy. It is our community that creates this every week, every program. I am so grateful for you, and always appreciate your thoughts, your questions, your concerns, your ideas, your topics. And again, even those suggestions for guests. One of these days we'll have a guest in again. I will be back same time, same place next week. I hope you can join me, and I wish you a marvelous week in between. Many blessings and much love, my friends. Namaste.